I wonder, have you ever started something, some project or other, and halfway through it you thought to yourself, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Maybe it was a gardening project or some painting job you felt needed doing. Perhaps it was an evening class at a local tech you signed up for. Various projects or initiatives can seem like a good idea at the time, but turn out to be a bit more of a challenge than first thought. Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time to have a look at Paul's trustworthy sayings. The first one, which we looked at a few weeks ago, was fairly easy, or reasonably easy, to comment on. It was from 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Let me just remind you of it. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That verse speaks about the Christ who came, speaks about where he came to, into the world, and 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 tells us what Jesus came to do. He came to save sinners. In other words, to save men and women and young people who in and of ourselves are adrift from God and in need of saving from the penalty due for sin. As I looked at Paul's second trustworthy saying, I thought, how am I going to approach this one? Or how am I going to comment on this one? It's found in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 3. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. The passage, you may have noticed, goes on to speak about overseers in the church, which can be interpreted elders and the kind of people elders should, or at least should, strive to be. It's a passage I've spoken on a few times during my ministry in the lead up to an election of elders, but we're not going there this evening. I'm going to try to stay with the saying as it is in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 3. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Let me suggest a couple of things on the basis of this verse. First, I suggest to you, to set one's heart on Christian service is a commendable or noble thing. To set one's heart on Christian service is a commendable thing. In the journey of life, we set our hearts on many things. Perhaps back in a different time period, we set our hearts on a particular career. And we got on with studying for it and then spent years in that role. Gave us a reason to get up in the morning. It financed other interests we had and brought some pleasure and fulfillment along the way. Nothing at all wrong with setting our hearts on a certain career path and benefiting in different ways from that. Some folk set their hearts on traveling to parts of the world that are of interest to them. And when they get there, they explore the sights and sample the culture and cuisine and take lots of pictures. Nothing wrong with that. Some folk are into travel. Still others set their hearts on a sport or on volunteering for some worthy cause. To set one's heart on a career or a sport or on some travel can be fulfilling. God has given us such things for our enjoyment. Verse 1 of 1 Timothy 3 suggests to us that to set one's heart on Christian service is a commendable or noble thing. As I've said, the passage goes on to speak about the kind of person an elder should be. But it's not just elders who are involved in Christian service. It's not just elders who give leadership and service within a local congregation. Someone has said this: those in lesser positions, the lesser being in inverted commas, those in lesser positions in the church are not excused from the high standards of Christian character and behavior. Christians, believers, followers of Jesus, one and all, are involved in God's service to one extent or other. That may be within a church group on a Sunday or during the week. And of course, Christian service extends to the home and to the farm and to the factory and the office. By way of living out the faith, by way of speaking words of comfort, encouragement, guidance, or by way of doing good deeds. Something that came out of the Reformation in the mid-late 1500s was this: that to one extent or other, all Christians are involved, ought to be involved, in some form of service for God. The Christian leadership at the time were of the mind that only monks and priests were doing service for God, that that's the only ones who should be doing service for God. Martin Luther, a key Reformation figure, challenged that thinking. And here's one of his comments: the idea that service for God is confined to preaching, singing, reading, sacrifice, and the like is without doubt the worst trick of the devil. How could the devil have led us more effectively astray than by the narrow idea that service to God only takes place in a church and by the works done there by a small group of people? The whole world, says Luther, could abound with services to the Lord, not only in churches, but also in the home, the workshop, and the field. Again, from Martin Luther on service: the Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. The first verse of 1 Timothy 3 suggests that to set one's heart on Christian service is a commendable or noble thing. Folks, please, please don't overthink Christian service. It isn't all about leadership or church oversight. It's not all about obvious upfront things for Jesus. Christian service can be worked out in the routine of daily life, in our homes, amongst our friends, and towards a stranger. To set one's heart on Christian service is a commendable thing. From the very outset of his ministry, Jesus was set on serving. We might recall that while James and John were lobbying for the best seats in heaven, Mark chapter 10, that Jesus wound up that conversation with these words, a well-known verse from Mark chapter 10, verse 45: "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." While the brothers were set on getting, Jesus was set on giving. Then there's the incident in John chapter 13 where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. That was all about serving. To set one's heart on Christian service is a commendable thing. My daily Bible notes recently worked through the last few chapters of 1 Chronicles. And I noticed what it said about King David and the building of the temple in Jerusalem for the worship of God. In Chronicles chapter 22, which we read a little bit of earlier, we know that David was not going to be the one to build the temple. That was going to be the job, the task, the project of his son Solomon. David would gather materials for the project, but Solomon would oversee the work. But here's what it says in verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 22. David said to Solomon, "I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of my God." David wasn't allowed to build the temple because of all the wars he was involved in. He was God's man for many things, but not for building the temple. But the thing is, David had a heart desire, a heart longing to do it in service to God. To set one's heart on Christian service at whatever level, however up front or behind the scenes, is a commendable thing. It is not an uppish or arrogant thing to set one's heart on Christian service, so long as we approach it in the right attitude, with grace and with a concern for God's glory and for the good of others. To set one's heart on Christian service is also a challenging thing. The idea of a noble task, as at the end of the verse, can be understood in different ways. Some identify the noble task as a beautiful work, that it's a beautiful thing to be involved in some form of Christian service, and it is. Others interpret a noble task simply as worthwhile work, and Christian service is that. But still, some see the noble task in a different light. They see it as hard work, sometimes draining work, challenging work. Paul knew a bit about Christian service, didn't he? He knew how pleasing it could be as folk responded positively to his preaching. Paul knew how joyful it could be as he learned about believers going on with Jesus and maturing in the faith. Paul also knew that Christian service could be difficult, sometimes frustrating, even exhausting. In the early days of the New Testament church, leaders didn't always get an easy time. For example, it wasn't easy to be an elder in the early years of the New Testament church. Church leaders then were often persecuted, and some were executed for standing up and speaking up for Jesus. Think of some of the apostles and how challenging Christian service turned out to be for them. John was banished to an island called Patmos for preaching the gospel. It is believed that Andrew was crucified, and perhaps not nailed to a cross, but tied to it in order to prolong his suffering. We're to understand that Peter was crucified upside down. Paul was executed in Rome, to mention just a few of the apostles and how it turned out for them for speaking up for Jesus. Fast forward 1400 or 1500 years, and we find that many who stood with the reformers were driven out of their communities, or worse, as a result of Christian commitment and service. Christian service has always had its challenges. Some folk looking on make light of it. Some are critical of it. Some see it as a waste of time. And others can make life difficult for folk who simply want to live in step with Jesus and serve Him in some way. We were to work through what follows on from verse 1 of 1 Timothy 3. We would see that eldership is not a lightweight calling. Take verse 2, for example. Now the overseer must be above reproach, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable. Verse 7, he must also have a good reputation with outsiders. So you can begin to see why the noble task is viewed by some as an onerous task, as a difficult task. Now, folks, I don't want to transfer the weight of Christian service as an elder or a minister to all forms of Christian service. But all forms of Christian service will have its challenges. And you will know this if you've ever been involved with a Sunday school class or a Bible class or with some other church group. It's not easy. And in the outside world, some service from a Christian perspective may be rejected. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. I hope I haven't been too far off the mark with regards to this verse, since the passage does go on to speak about the character of folk in leadership. Yes, ministers and elders have particular responsibilities, especially with regards to the spiritual oversight of a congregation. But where would any congregation be? Where would the congregation of Drumrea be without a band of folk involved in different areas of service? Some more noticed than others, but all equally important. To set one's heart on Christian service is a commendable thing. To set one's heart on Christian service is a noble thing, perhaps even a beautiful thing, but also a challenging thing. Of course, before we can begin to set our hearts in the direction of Christian service, we must first have set our hearts on Christ. Remember, Paul is giving instructions to Timothy, his son in the faith. But he's also addressing a wider group of believers. Paul would not be speaking to Timothy and to others about Christian service if folk weren't, first of all, believers. If they were not, first of all, Christians, men and women and young people who had embraced the gospel, who had turned from their sins and received Christ as their Savior. To set one's heart on Christian service, one's heart must first be set on Christ. I remember coming out of a midweek meeting in Mourne Presbyterian Church in the autumn winter of 1980. I wasn't yet a Christian, even though some folk around me thought I was. But on the way out, Reverend McGaughey asked me if I would think about helping with the Boys' Brigade. I went to see him shortly after that, and my first words were, I couldn't possibly be involved in serving amongst boys because I wasn't yet a Christian. We talked a bit. We talked a while. And that evening, in the autumn winter of 1980, I confessed Christ as my Savior. And the rest, as they say, is history. We can truly and confidently set our hearts on Christian service, up front or behind the scenes, whatever, having first set our hearts on Christ as Savior. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. To set one's heart on Christian service is a commendable thing, can also be a challenging thing. May God grant to us wisdom and grace to walk with him this week and serve him in whatever little ways or bigger ways we can, wherever we find ourselves. Let us pray.